Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Now, more on the fallout from Chrystia Freeland's resignation from cabinet hours before she was to deliver the government's fiscal update. What do you think, people? 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And I am now joined by Charles Bird, Managing Principal at Earnscliffe Strategy Group in Toronto, and Jason Leader, Conservative Strategist and President at Enterprise. Hi, guys. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Libby.
So,
hey, Libby. Hey, Charles.
Hey, I've been saying one of the things, of the many things that strike me about this, is that, you know, for all that Justin Trudeau says that he is a feminist, when there's some kind of problem with a woman, it always turns out to be more public and humiliating. Jason, is that relevant?
Well, listen, the guy stood in at the Equal Voice event last Monday and scolded the Americans for not electing a woman president and said, you know, women just keep, you know, trying to raise themselves up and there's men in the way. And I got to say, on Friday, he fired her, right? On Friday, he called her for a meeting and said, you're fired as finance minister, but we'd really like you to take on this other role that's, you know, super exciting. And so, you know, if there's a problem in Justin Trudeau's government, he will find a woman to blame for it. There's no doubt about that. Jody Wilson-Raybould, Jane Philpott, you know, Chrystia Freeland. But I will say, Libby, it's chaos. I don't think anybody expected this chaos, this kind of fiasco this morning. And I think, Charles, I'm interested to see what you think, but, you know, it's hard to understand how the government can carry on. Now, obviously, we know how they will carry on. Jagmeet Singh will find some excuse to carry them on. But my goodness, how can they carry on with the confidence of Parliament or the Canadian people?
Charles, Jason's doing my job for me, so you may as well answer.
That's very good of him. No, I mean, this is a political crisis for the federal government of the first order. There's really no overstating that. I mean, if the prime minister is going to survive the next few days or weeks, he's going to have to ensure both the support of his cabinet and his caucus. Caucus has obviously been a bit tricky of late, given the by-election loss in LaSalle-Amard-Verdun, which led to, a delayed caucus meeting where a good number of Liberal MPs stood up and gave it to the Prime Minister in no uncertain terms. So now the issue is cabinet and whether ministers are sufficiently confident in the Prime Minister's ability to lead going forward. And that's what we're going to see over the next 24, 48 hours or so. But it's a highly unusual situation where, and Jason can correct me, I'm not sure if we know if the fall economic statement is going to proceed this afternoon. And we certainly don't know who the Minister of Finance is going to be. And those are two pretty big unanswered questions.
Jason, how much of this is really relevant to a regular person who is not as obsessed as we are with political stuff?
I'm glad you asked that, Libby. It's a perfect question for this kind of thing, because the truth is, most of the time when we're talking about this stuff on your show, you know, it doesn't really punch through. And I will say this one punched through. I got texts from non-political people. You know when something's punched through, when regular people start talking about it, and quote unquote regular people are talking about this. Like, they're wondering, it just looks like chaos, right? Looks like Trudeau's, I got a couple texts this morning, looks like Trudeau's lost control finally. You know, is this the end for him? How's he going to get through this one? Why is he firing this woman? Like, I literally got a version of those texts this morning. And I think this one did punch through and will punch through. And I think that this is international news as well, Libby, right? And the other thing is,
okay,
it is for sure. I mean, the Americans are going to be noticing and are noticing. And, you know, this is a big name thing. I will say this. It's not like Ms. Freeland went out and said, well, I'm interested in another job, or I'm going to spend more time with my family, right? She went out guns blazing. She basically said Trudeau's doing a bad job, he's not serious, and threw him under the bus. And that's, we're going to see if those other Liberal caucus members that Charles is talking about find their voice, right? A lot of that was done in the shadows. Mr. Fraser resigned yesterday, had no nice words for PMO. Ms. Freeland went out guns blazing. We're going to find out if that Liberal caucus rump that couldn't find its voice a couple of months ago finds its voice and actually tries to get rid of Mr. Trudeau once and for all or not.
Well, she threw him under the bus after he threw her. I mean, she threw him under the bus from the gurney or something. And you've seen Anita Anand was crying, and Chrystia Freeland had a tearful news conference a few days before that. So how do you overcome this sense of chaos? And again, compare and contrast with Sean Fraser, who said, oh, I want to spend more time with my family, which usually evokes laughter from people who watch this stuff closely, Charles.
Now, in Sean's case, he does have two young kids, but let's just leave that aside for the time being. Right now, we are working on the basis of information provided in Minister Freeland's letter of resignation. And she claims in that letter that the Prime Minister told her on Friday that she would be shuffled out of finance to either an international portfolio, likely global affairs, or to a specific Canada-US role, if you believe the speculation. She was also very direct in calling out the government on the whole notion of sending out checks to Canadians, something she referred to in her letter as a costly political gimmick, quote unquote. And she was also very deliberate in her choice of words in calling for the PM to work in, quote, good faith and humility with the premiers in adopting a truly Team Canada approach. I mean, Canada has been through difficult situations with the U.S. before. The negotiation of the Canada-U.S.-Mexico trade agreement, for instance, back in 2017, that really did have all the hallmarks of a true Team Canada approach, where the federal government, the premiers, the provinces, industry, stakeholders were really all singing out of the same hymn book, given that the world had been caught completely by surprise by the surprise election of Donald Trump. This time around, it feels different. It feels like this is a government nearing the end of its political life. And it's somewhat ironic that this existential economic threat from Trump and the new administration really does constitute one of the most important moments the Trudeau government has ever faced. And this is at a time when, you know, the life of this government can be measured in months and weeks.
So I guess the question is, will he survive? And Ben in Mississauga wants to opine on that. Hello, Ben.
Yeah. Hello. Hi, Lizzie.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Eight years ago, I vote for Trudeau for the sunny way. Now his sunny ways is gone. It has been sticking around too long. Now the Canadian people, in the past, Canadian people keep sending him the message. Today and yesterday, his own cabinet minister sent him the message. Yesterday, the housing minister, if I remember correctly, he even thanks the volunteers for helping him. I don't hear him specifically thanking the PMO. Now, today, for Freeland, that is a signal. I think Mr. Trudeau, his sunny days are gone, and he should walk like his father, go to the beach, walk in the sand, and then exit in an honorable way.
Okay, thank you, Ben, for that. I think the sunny days are long over. So, Jason, is he, do you think, going to take a walk in the snow? We haven't had much snowfall here lately.
He is an obstinate, stubborn man, and I don't say that as a put down. Mr. Trudeau, he's made it through a very couple of tough elections. The last two elections, Libby, he got just over 30%. He was very lucky to pull his way through, and so he's a stubborn dude. I will say, like, if he's obstinate enough to try to weather this crisis, I mean, we're at stratospheric, you know, sort of narcissism at this point. Like, nobody likes him. He thinks he can make it through, but he's not going to make it through the next election. He's not going to win the next election. He's not going to hold the Conservatives to a minority. And it's best for him. I'm not a Liberal, Libby, as you know.
But
it's best
really?
For him. It's best for them if he goes. And I think this might be something like this. This is what this is designed to do. That's the point I want to make. By the way, Mr. Fraser, although he was nicer about it than Ms. Freeland, Mr. Fraser you know, he's going to try to lead the Liberal Party of Nova Scotia, which won two seats in an election a couple weeks ago, right? It's not like a dream job right now. Ms. Freeland is like, you know what, I'll sit on the back benches rather than be your finance minister. They're all sending a message and saying, it's time to go, dude. And if he's sort of doesn't listen, I wouldn't be surprised to see some people try to ratchet up the pressure. But so far, that has had no effect. And I do mean no effect on Mr. Trudeau.
Charles, on the other hand, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I was talking to a friend from Halifax who was at a Liberal fundraising dinner, I think, within the last week, and told me he was on his game. He was charismatic and he got a standing ovation at the end of it. I mean, it was a Liberal crowd, but could that be what he carries in his head?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the whole situation with Trump and the potential imposition of tariffs has energized the Prime Minister. And this is obviously a critical moment for Canada and for our economy. And so it remains to be seen what will happen. I mean, the simple political math is that the way forward appears to be very tenuous, if not untenable, for the Prime Minister. So if he does take the walk in the sand, as Ben, I think, rightly refers to, things will become very interesting, first in terms of what the federal party does, in terms of choosing a successor, and whether that's Mark Carney, whether Ms. Freeland is part of that mix, whether there are others. But it's also very interesting in terms of Ontario, because Doug Ford and his advisors are really, really intent on going to the polls with Justin Trudeau as Prime Minister, because they see that as their best path to victory. In the absence of Trudeau, things become very, very tricky very quickly, and they are facing a very formidable opponent in Bonnie Crombie. They know it, and that's why we've seen tens of millions of dollars in ads aimed squarely at Bonnie Crombie. So it's we are entering a very, very uncertain 2025.
Okay, well, that is, I think we can all agree on that. I'm looking at the clock. It's time to wrap things up. People, by the way, we have our political panel tomorrow. We'll talk more about this. Maybe some things will be clearer, like are we getting a fiscal update? And in the meantime, thank you so much, Charles Bird and Jason Leader. And we'll talk again soon. And that's all the time we have for today.